Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway Buick GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new Buicks, GMCs, and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaybuickgmc.com, look for the shop, click drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway Buick GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaybuickgmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. Experience the new Buick. And welcome into the Coppola Studio for episode 211 of The Mom Game, 211. I'm Emily Jones. She's Julie Dobbs. I'm going to drink Coppola wine out of a glass today,
Julie. Okay,
good.
Julie. We're moving on up.
I went straight from the bottle last week. Today, I'm just going to keep it classy and pour it in a glass.
Coppola appreciates that.
Do you think they do? Do you think when they say, please drink responsibly, responsibly?
That's what they mean.
Yeah, when they say, please drink responsibly, it's like pour it in a glass and sip it like a normal human.
Yeah,
instead
probably.
Of, you know, taking a swig out of a bottle.
Yeah.
But either way, it's so good, you don't have to put it in a glass.
That's right.
You can if you want.
It is good.
So yeah, here we are.
I'm going to grab two ahead of Easter, right?
I know. Oh, yeah.
Easter's this Sunday. Yeah, it snuck up on me. But like, you know, we just got a text about going somewhere on Easter. I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring a bottle of Coppola.
Yeah.
Bottle of red probably for a nice Easter dinner.
Yeah. Or you could bring like the sparkling rosé.
Yeah.
A little pre-gaming.
Something. Yeah. Always good to have on hand.
Thank you
so much to Coppola.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, what's going on?
Nothing. Just
nothing.
Work.
I know.
Just work. We've had grandparents in town, which is nice. They're leaving tomorrow. And, you know, just trucking along. We're getting ready for a Mexico trip next week.
I know. So, wait. Is everyone going? Kids, too?
Kids. Yep.
Okay.
Kids are going.
And this is for Kelly's dad's
70th birthday.
Okay.
Yep. Grandpa's 70th birthday. And he lives in Mexico half the year.
Okay. Whereabouts in Mexico?
Cabo. San Jose del Cabo.
Okay.
He lives. And we're going to stay like halfway in between San Jose and Cabo. San Jose is about 30 minutes from actual Cabo San Lucas.
Okay.
So we're staying kind of like right in the middle in a house with family with Kelly's brother and his wife and their two kids who have kids the exact same ages as our kids, just boy then girl. Or sorry, girl then boy. And they're all really cute and close and we love them and we just never get to see them because they're all the way up in Canada. We haven't seen him in like a year and a half. So to all be in a house together for a week in Mexico is just going to be so fun.
Yeah.
So
it's just y'all's, so your Kelly's brother's family and your family and then parents.
And then Kelly's dad and his girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll all just be there hanging out.
No fun. Good for
I know.
You.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun.
Yeah.
Have your kids ever been to Mexico?
Ryder has. He's been to Cabo. Like with the same group, but back with his grandma before she passed away.
Okay.
And then her mom. So his grandma and his great grandma, he actually went to Cabo with. He was little, but he remembers it, I think. Poor Anna, like, was born during COVID, and then mom got a new job, and then another new job since she was born. And so she just hasn't done much.
Stuff.
Like, she gets really excited to go anywhere, like in the car and go to Austin or the ranch, which she loves, and I love that she loves that.
Yeah.
But like she's only been on a plane twice. Once for Canada when she was real little, when her grandma was sick. And then once when we went to Kansas City with my mom, like last you know, fall or whenever that was, and she was acting like it was Disney World, you know, like so I'm excited. She's like, can't wait. I think they've been telling everybody at school, and it's kind of weird because they're missing a week of school, and we've never done that. But, you know, this is
going to be fine.
It's his actual 70th birthday, so
they'll be fine.
We couldn't be like, yeah, thank you so much for inviting us and paying for our lodging and everything, but could we go during our spring break?
Right.
Like, no, you just go.
Yeah.
It's going to be super fun.
That'll be fun.
I mean,
it's like
little.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, well, and even now, like, I mean, there's a certain number of days you can miss or whatever before you kind of get into the weird stuff that you have to do in the summertime.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm like, that's what, like, Hattie missed, you know, we extended her spring break when she was with me in spring training.
Right. And it all works out.
Honestly,
I'm like, the teachers probably need a little, like, one less student. I'm sure they're like, great. Especially if it's someone like Ryder, who's great, but he also gets, you know, needs a lot of attention sometimes
because
he's chatty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his folder always says, chatty.
Chatty.
Yes.
Chatty Ryder.
Yes, yes.
Well, good. That'll be fun. And next week, I'm going to have Jared Sandler as my guest co-host.
I love that. He's coming in studio.
I think he's coming in studio. We're going to talk a lot of Rangers because he is... Like, he's who I now, especially now that CJ's gone, CJ Nitkowski is who I used to, you know, kind of, CJ loved to, like, dive into numbers. And if I brought something up, he'd be like, oh, let me look into that and blah, blah. And, so now CJ's working for the Braves and Jared is kind of my guy where I'm like, okay, what do you think about this? Or, you know, when I would like, when I was going to spring training, like, I mean, listen, they were there in Arizona for a month before I really even... I mean, I'm paying attention loosely, but I'm like, okay, give me what you're thinking on roster breakdown. Cause it's hard to follow from here. And to be honest, like, I just don't, this sounds terrible to say, but I don't have like the bandwidth in my brain anymore to like, okay, you know, go get familiar with this guy. And then they're like, oh, he just got sent down to, you know, triple. And I'm like, well, fuck. Like now I'm going to get him confused with another guy. Anyway. So I basically just like the last several years, I've just been like, I'll just worry about guys when they get to Arlington, like love them all. Hope they all do great. But it's like, I'll just wait till they get to Arlington and then for sure, then make sure I
focus in
and really concentrate.
Sense. There's a lot of guys in the system.
Well, and it's hard to keep up and you follow kind of the prospect lists and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I followed it, you know, I follow it loosely, but I'm just kind of like, I'm just wait till they get here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. It's always
old
good to have
and tired,
a buddy like
maybe.
That.
I don't know. So anyway, Jared is the complete opposite where he's diving into everything. He's dissecting everything. I mean, yesterday we were at the ballpark and I called someone a trainer when really he's a strength coach. And he's like, strength. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Right.
Yeah,
anyway, he's very serious about his baseball and about his Rangers. So anyway, we'll talk a lot about that. We'll talk some other stuff. He's a fun guy. He's one of my good friends. It's fun to have people at work that you enjoy. So anyway, Jared will be in next week.
That's great.
Tell him thanks. Yeah. What was I going to ask you? Oh, how's the 2-week reset? Are you done?
Oh, good. I actually like really kind of enjoyed it. So I'm still doing it. Like yesterday was 2 weeks, I guess. And I didn't do like 2 weeks completely by the book.
You know,
it was really hard. It was supposed to be just like basically a liquid diet. But I really liked just, it was cutting out a lot of stuff that makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, let's like, okay, if we cut like everything out, then we can really figure out like what causes you to feel like bloating or pain or whatever it may be, makes your jeans not be able to zip up and things like that. And I've just felt really good. So I'm still trying to do it. And it's just like 2 shakes, you know, a day, but I've gone into where I can eat dinner as long as it's like, you know, veggie protein kind of thing, which is nice because we still have people bringing us dinner and all that, and I was like, ah, it was torture, you know, for a little while there, but it's great. It's going really well. I have a great like nutritionist that I'm working with. Like the whole deal here was to try to figure out like how to feel, you know, obviously drop some pounds but also just feel better, and Mexico was like a little bit of my thing that just helped spark it, but ahead of the summer, and I'm trying to avoid all the shots, you know, like that a lot of people are doing. Like, and there's a lot more now, like there's generic ones and there's less expensive ones and there's this and there's that. And I was talking with the doctor about it all, and like she's like, Google this, Google that, and every single one had some side effects that scared me. One was like, okay, well this one's affordable, and I like looked at it and it was like, oh, you might have suicidal thoughts. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want any of these side effects.
Yeah.
And plus, it's just still so new. And I know a lot of people are finding success with it, and that's great. Like, I have a nurse, you know, who my oncology nurse, she did it herself. And she's like, it's fine. It's a game changer for a lot of people that, like, need to get into a healthy, you know, weight or whatever. But turns out, too, after I had my blood drawn and everything, I was, like, not in danger zone, but, like, pre-danger zone for diabetes stuff.
Oh, really?
So I'm glad I'm, like, you know, just trying to kind of sort through it all. And I'm trying not to, and I'm not going to do the shots, but that is kind of, like, what sparked it all.
Yeah.
But the nutritionist that I'm working with, I really like, and I do want to have her on, like, just to talk about this whole phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, the all the different shots.
Yeah.
And she's very into intermittent fasting, and I know that's something that you do.
Yeah. Well, and I heard you do a story on the radio that's like, am I now, like, 10 times more likely to die or something than you because I do intermittent fasting?
That's what American Heart Association has said, like, 91% more chance of having, like, a cardiac event if you're an intermittent faster.
91%?
Yeah. And it's still pretty early on, like, in all of their research. And I asked her about this. Her name is Annie. And she was like, oh, I don't buy it. Because she's big on the fasting method.
Yeah.
And, like, went to school for all of this. And
well, and I will tell you, I've been doing it for how many years now? I mean, 3 or 4. And again, I call it intermittent eating.
Right.
I mean, because technically my food window won't open up until 12 or 1, but I'm...
Oh, it's pushed back? Wasn't it 11 for...
Sometimes. It just depends on what time of year.
When you eat dinner, too, right?
Yeah. But, like, last night... So, for example... But I'm also not, like, hard and fast.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, last night... Yesterday, I ate lunch. Henry and I went to Cava, which I love Cava, by the way.
Yeah, I need to go.
And I so went to Cava. And then... So, I had that for lunch. And then I was going to eat a little bit of something at the ballpark. So, I had, like, a little bit of potatoes, like, half a grilled chicken, and some salad. And that was like at 4:30. And then by the time I got home, because I was up later because I had a game and I was up, and I'd get home at like 10:30 and I'm like, I just want a little something. And so, like, I had some Triscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it was fine. So I'm not like, no, my food window is closed and there is no more food, no more consumption. So I'm not really hard and fast, but I will say I've done it for, I want to say like 4 years or so.
Yeah.
I've done it for a long time.
Well, and it works for you.
And I love, like, it does make me feel good.
Yeah.
And I have my latte in the morning. Yes. Like, whatever. It's
well, and even with her fasting, she says coffee in the morning's fine.
Well, but I think
probably
that's
not
what,
with
like,
all the
black
stuff
coffee.
In it.
Yeah. Mine's a little funny, milk latte, whatever.
That's what I have. I had this morning. And
so
I love
it's
this.
Like, yeah, with one raw sugar. Like, I don't think it's terrible, but I'm also not like hard and fast. Like, I'm not looking at calories or I'm not looking. I'm just like this. I basically eat from, you know, noon to 6, you know, 1 to 7. But like, we went to dinner for a girlfriend's birthday over the weekend, and we had reservations at 7. It's not like, oh, we got to get it. Let's get this food ordered. Like,
right.
I don't care. It's just like when I can do
and
it.
And I think that's the only, you can't be too strict you can't maintain something.
Right.
And if you've been able to maintain
exactly.
it for that long, then that's probably why, because you have these.
It's just kind of the way I,
But yeah, I think a lot of people do that. And I don't, she did not believe what the American Heart Association
91% was so aggressive.
But she didn't even know about that. She was like, I'm going to go research it because we've been having calls like on Fridays.
Yeah.
But I would love to have her on too. She also has 7 kids.
What?
I know. 7 kids.
She okay?
Nutritionist. Yeah, I think she's okay.
She okay?
I think she's okay.
Are you sure?
Sounds like she has her ass together.
You have to.
I know.
You can't have 7 kids and not have your shit together.
You have to. You have to know
your next level shit together if you have 7 kids.
Yeah.
7?
It takes a certain type of person.
Are they
that knows
all,
they can handle that.
Did she birth them all?
I don't know. I haven't gone into all that with her, but she's a very interesting person. I think she
definitely needs
she could come on here and talk about,
we
you
could
know.
Send our kids home with her and she
she
know.
Wouldn't even notice. What's 4 more?
Yes. Why can't I come on in? We got this shit figured out.
Right.
Wow, 7 kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, speaking of that, somebody else I want to get on. I went to this Laura Bush luncheon for the Laura Bush Institute, Health and whatever Institute. I don't know what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And I told you she didn't exactly. Did I tell you this story? It was so Tregman-like.
No. So you went up to Laura.
I did. And I was like, because my friend Meredith Land invited me to go because she's on the board of this institute or whatever. And so Laura's not – I usually go when they are in Fort Worth. And Laura doesn't usually doesn't come to all of them, but she was at this one. And so just like Troy, you know, I walk up and I'm like, hi, Mrs. Bush. And like I went in kind of for a hug. And she kind of stuck her hand out. It was so awkward.
Oh, no. She didn't want to hug.
She didn't want to hug. She did not recognize me. And so I panicked again. And I was like, Sarah, Are you ready for opening day? Are you ready for opening day? Are you going to be at the ballpark? I hope I can see you there. I hope, remember, because that's where I usually see you, is at the ballpark. I know. Usually it's so, usually I'm a baseball girl. Like, it's like, we're not friends. Like, we're not friends. She
doesn't. You're friends with her.
Well,
hobby.
I mean, now George and I, on the other hand, I mean, we're like the besties.
Yes.
But I don't think Laura appreciates me and my baseball knowledge.
It probably just did not click.
It didn't. And you know when you see someone outside of, like, yes, she's used to seeing me at the ballpark. She's, yes, always very friendly and very nice at the ballpark.
At the ballpark, you make sense there.
I make sense there.
Yes.
I didn't make sense at a fancy luncheon.
No. Where probably a lot of people think they know her at a fancy luncheon.
Probably.
Right? All the fancy people probably have
and
met her
listen,
once.
Can I just tell you that there's no place more that I don't belong than a fancy luncheon.
Remember when we went to one together? The fancy luncheons, I don't know. I don't know. I don't belong either.
I don't belong at a fancy luncheon.
No.
I just don't.
I don't want to get dressed.
No, I don't even mind. But it's like I always
for
feel
lunch.
Like I go to a fancy luncheon and I'm like, just looking around and everyone's wearing stuff that you've seen on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
They look like they just came from a runway show.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, there's like a whole luncheon lady life.
Yeah. And you I'm know? Rocking a jean jacket.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just am not fancy luncheon girl.
I'm not fancy luncheon girl either.
I mean, I'll go. I prefer fancy luncheons.
I like meals, like if I'm invited. Yeah. Like I like a free
and,
meal.
Oh, here's another thing. If you go to a fancy luncheon, they're not eating.
No, they're not.
All that.
Because the people, shoo, they come by so quickly to
but
get your
I'm no,
to
I'm,
get your plate.
I am eating it.
So
and
am
then,
I. And I was like, I'm not done. Excuse me.
And
I'm
then
not done.
Also, like at this one, there was alternating desserts.
Yeah.
And my friend Karen that went with me, I was like, you're just going to let that creme brulee just sit there? She's like, oh, I don't want it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just want a bite just to taste it. One bite and then like the speaker's speaking and I just another bite. Finally, she's like, here's the creme brulee. Have
brulee.
As much of it as you'd like. And I'm like, how do you people have like food in front of you and you're just choosing to just like take one bite of each thing and then move on? And are you going home after this?
Are you going home to scarf food at your
and
house?
Like you're
going to
make some shells and cheese? Like
yeah.
What are you doing after this?
Yeah.
Where you're not eating this food that's in front of you.
They generally don't eat.
Well, I mean, I know my friends eat.
Yeah.
I just think.
But that's what the luncheon is for. It's a luncheon.
I just think fancy luncheon people don't eat a ton.
Yeah.
Because I think they're worried about what other fancy luncheon people around them.
Maybe they have another fancy luncheon. Maybe they're on the fancy lunch circuit and they got to go from boom, boom, boom. In a day.
Oh, they have another fancy
luncheon. You never know. It's like, I think it's luncheon season right now.
So is it?
It's luncheon season in the spring. Yeah.
God, I'm
sandals,
so not
dresses,
fancy.
Flowers.
Caftans.
I'm not fancy either, Emily.
Do you have any caftans?
No.
I feel like that's a fancy luncheon
it is.
Lady thing.
Yeah, it is. Caftans.
You know what else is fancy, lady?
Big right now.
Round top. You get a round
top?
Oh,
yeah, sister-in-law just went to Round Top. Take some girls to Round Top. I saw Pat Green played there, though, because Corey has her.
Yep. Corey's there. My friend Brooke Wright is there.
Should we totally go hit up Round Top?
Should we? I can't think of any place I would be more out of my element than Round Top.
Go shop for antiques.
Is it like antiques? Like,
yeah.
You've been to my house. Like, there's nothing.
No.
I want new shit.
Mine are unintentional antiques.
Don't give me
antiques.
Your refurbished shit. I want new
your
stuff.
Your house is very modern. Mine's all antiques that I don't want it to be. Mine's like stuff from when my grandma moved out and left stuff and I moved in. I was like, sure, that table will work. But they're not not the cool antiques.
I know.
They're not
I
the
know.
Antiques people
I've
shop
heard,
for.
But I've heard some wild stories from Round Top too.
Yeah,
like shit gets a little turned up.
Are there bars?
Oh honey, these they're drinking all day.
Yeah, I understand that, but where do they go when they're not shopping?
I don't there's got to be there has yeah. to be bar.
There's
I don't
probably
know
a lot of like
we should do a
sequin like
a mom game investigates
and we should
Round Top.
That would be really fun.
It does look fun.
We go do some interviews.
I'm like, oh, we're just walking around, drinking, wearing cowboy boots and cute hats and hats and scarves. Like,
fun.
All right, I'll go.
I don't want the antiques, but it does look fun.
And I don't have to buy anything.
No. and sure to find stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Get a blackjack game going or something. Yeah. Like for people that aren't into antiques.
You want to get a blackjack
game? I don't know. Going. I'm just trying to think of something I can do. I don't know. Trying to think of a game that will travel.
Right. Blackjack will work. You know there's probably Mahjong over there.
I could. No, you know there is. But you know what I could do? I could have a gambling tent.
Okay.
I don't think it's legal. God, if it became legal,
yeah,
I could just be, I'll be the house.
Yeah.
Sit down, have a seat.
Yeah.
Let's play some cards.
I like it. I'd go to your table.
Okay.
I feel like,
let's keep our eyes and ears open to when gambling becomes legal.
Mom Game investigates. I feel like the Venn diagram of luncheon ladies and round top ladies definitely intersects.
And I think
there's
a
big chunk of.
We can both, I feel like we can both vibe with both of those crowds.
We can totally vibe. We're a little bit of like chameleon like.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we could fit in. Hopefully. I'm not ever going to be like, oh, she needs to come back. Like, oh, right. You are in the group.
No.
Yeah, I'll get like
no one's ever
a random
going,
invite here and there.
No one's ever going to invite me to Round Top. I will tell you that much right now. No one will ever invite me to Round Top.
No one will ever invite me to Round Top.
Well, then that's why we're just going by ourselves together.
Let's go Mom Game Investigates to the Round Top. We should get in on some of these lady luncheons, too, and do a little luncheon circuit, investigate. I think if I had to pick one, though,
We have to be invited to luncheons.
Yeah, that's true. We could get
Or we have to buy a table.
Mom Game could have a table.
We have to sponsor.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here we go. Okay, listen. If you know of a luncheon coming up, don't luncheons benefit like causes?
Yes, yes.
If there is
oftentimes it's kids.
Okay. If there is a luncheon that benefits a cause that the Mom Game can help sponsor, not only with our financial contributions
that we align with.
Yep. But also we can give them publicity on our show, on our social media. We will help raise awareness for your luncheon and be a sponsor. So we can see how we fit into the...
And then invite our own table of people.
Oh, and we're going to invite...
All of our people and be like the best table at the luncheon. Yes. Be the rowdy. They're going to have to kick us out.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So let us know.
Yeah. Well, also, if
holler at us.
You want to invite us to Round Top, then...
There's no one inviting us to Round Top. There is no one.
In another world, Emily.
Inviting us to Round Top.
Yeah.
No, I'm not cut out for Round Top.
I'm not either.
Anyway, it does look fun, though.
Yeah.
And I would accept an invitation.
To Round Top?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. I would, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
We need to get off of luncheons and Round Top.
We do. Baseball, you're excited. It's the week of.
Yeah, so it's here.
Thursday, you don't
opening
have to
day.
Work.
Opening day. So Thursday, I don't have to work because it's a national exclusive game.
Yeah.
So for the first time in my life, I will be at opening day in the stands.
Awesome.
And I will be with my family. And I am so incredibly excited about it.
Yeah.
So we'll get to watch the banner drop, the flag drop, all that kind of stuff. And then Saturday is ring ceremony day. I have no idea. I'm not part of the ring ceremony. I'm hoping.
Did you figure out what tier you are?
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm really hoping for tier two.
Yeah.
I get nothing against tier three, but I don't feel like I'm on tier one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like.
You're probably tier two. Is tier three like employees?
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be.
But like someone in like the marketing department doesn't get a ring, right?
No. They do.
Wow.
I'm almost positive. Like everyone in the organization gets a ring.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Isn't it?
That's cool. So those people are probably tier three. You're probably tier two. I think you nailed it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, but if. Listen, don't get me wrong. If I'm tier three, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I just thought tier two would be a. Good little sweet spot.
I think that's a good spot for you.
So yeah, Saturday is the ring ceremony. I'm super excited about it. Like I said, I'm not going to be a part of the ring ceremony, but I think I'll get my ring on Saturday. If not, I'll just be like, can I just have it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No need for a ceremony.
Game?
I am working that game.
Okay. Cool.
Saturday and Sunday.
Easter.
Yeah. And Easter's here. And then Henry has a tournament.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really get to celebrate Easter, which is fine. It's okay. But, yeah, baseball season is here for Henry. Baseball season is here for me. We're still in softball season for Hattie, and now she's volleyball. Like, kids, I'm having the anxiety, like, especially last night, I was having it really bad because I forgot that I was working this exhibition game. It was a night game, like, and I'm like, okay, here we go with who's picking up the kids from school, who's, you know, all this kind of stuff to where I'm like, I need to kind of take a deep breath. I need to get my calendar in order, but I'm having that kind of, I texted Mike last night, and I was like, so much anxiety tonight. And he's like, honey, we've got this. Like, we've done this for how many years? Like, yeah. we're fine. And I'm like, yeah. I know. And I appreciate you saying that. But I still have massive anxiety.
Right.
So I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around everything. And like Henry had a tournament this weekend and it was so fun. And I loved being there. And I'm like, fuck, now I'm going to miss shit.
I know.
And it sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. So hard. Sorry. I didn't want to get, but it's like you just start to get reminded of, well, fuck, here we go.
Yeah. I get it.
You know,
it's hard. And the older he gets, like the more fun, the more serious the sports.
And the more he wants me there.
Yeah. Oh. Well, make it as often as you can. Right?
I know. I know. But we were there from, I mean, 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. And we went back and forth and Hattie had a game in the middle of there. And anyway, it's just like, it reminds you. Good Lord. You know, you just,
yeah,
I've been available for everything for the last 5 months.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and getting to be there this weekend and, you know, him wanting me there so much and now knowing that, okay, now it's going to go back to, you know, to missing things and it's part of it, but it's just, I don't feel like it ever.
It doesn't make it.
It never gets easier.
It doesn't mean you don't have the feelings, right?
So that's what hard. I wasn't going to talk about it.
Oh.
I was trying to be,
that's good. That's what this is for, the mom game.
I know,
like, that's literally it. You got to go work a game and you're also a mom. And we're trying to figure it all out.
I'm, like, emotional and I think I'm having a hot flash.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so that's, yeah. So that's where we are. It's, and it will be fine. And we have done it for how many ever years?
Yeah.
But it's like we've talked about a million times before. You think it's going to get easier.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
And it doesn't. It never does.
It gets harder.
It never does.
In my opinion, it gets harder.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, take me back to when, you know, they were sleeping in a crib and, you know, woke up crying and didn't know when it was you or, I mean, and they knew. But, you know, it's just like.
It's just different. Yeah.
Fuck. So.
Now it's like a very emotional. It's like.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yep, I know. I had I was up at night thinking about stuff like this too. And I was like, man, because I'm, you know, still struggling a bit with my 2 to 6. It's like, that's the.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm missing this year where Anna's kinder and cute as can be and Ryder's second and still wants me there.
Yeah.
Like, still wants me to pick him up from school. I'm like, this window could be over next year. He could be too cool for third grade to where they don't want you there anymore. But I'm glad to hear that Henry still wants you.
I will
say. Because that makes me feel better.
I know. Yeah. I feel like boys and mamas, and not all of them, but like with Henry and I, there is there are certain things that he wants to do with his dad and that, but there's also the two of like that there is, you know, he wants me there for, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like there is a bond. And I think you can have different, you obviously have different kind of bonds with your children, you know,
yes,
each of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I think Henry's going to last way. I mean, he wants me around more than Hattie does.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's good.
It is.
Good. He wants you to be around. It's
just,
good you have a job you love.
Yes.
And yes, it's okay to feel
shitty
about having to miss kid stuff.
That's the hardest thing
in the world.
And I think that's what I was just thinking about last night. I was at the game and I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this, you know, it's just, you want to be
there. Well, in less games, right? So you won't travel as much. So there's baseball you can be at.
For sure. Just, I'm not going to miss everything. Right. And I am at everything that I can be at. But anyway.
We'll be thinking of you as it all gets underway. Because I know it's just like this oncoming like barrage.
Yeah. And I think once I get into
anxiety
it.
And
once I get into it, we'll get. It's just once you go from like being completely and totally available for 5 months of like basically. Mom can do anything, anytime, any place, whatever, to now I've got to, you know, this is.
Got to be somewhere by a certain time on these certain days.
And exactly.
That's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of that, all the anxiety yesterday that I had, and I needed to sleep. Like I just, I didn't want to like, you know, oftentimes I'll come home and have a glass of wine or whatever and just kind of, you know, decompress. And so, but last night I was like, nope, I'm going straight to bed. Pop some early bird, and then
I did too.
You did,
yeah.
And I turned on a Bravo show,
uh-huh.
which I was already caught up on everything, so I had to watch The Valley, which not good. Anyway, but I'm really grateful for a solution to my sleeping and anxiety issues, like early bird. You know, I've said it a million times, and y'all know I'm not full of shit. I literally rely on them to, like, I had that thought process on my way home last night from work. I'm like, I could have a glass of wine, scroll through social media, blah, blah, blah. Or I could just go home, pop some early birds, get into bed, turn on a Bravo show on my phone and fall asleep within 20 minutes. And that was the bed. And I woke up feeling, you know, at least well rested. I was still, I'm still having obviously the anxiety or whatever, but it did definitely allow me to shut down and get some rest. So I'm so thankful for early bird. And now I've started taking them a little bit, like when I know I'm just going to be home and, you know, I might need a little bonus awake time with the early bird.
That's what I recommend. It's funny when I take them like an hour before bed, I can totally feel when it kicks in. It's like I'm just good doing this,
oh, it's
doing
so
that.
Fun. It
I'm
is.
Putting a blunder, whatever. And then I'm like, woo! Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm done. I'm done with anything productive. Kelly knows it too. He's like, did your early bird just hit? I'm like, yep. It's good though. It's perfect. Earlybirdcbd.com and then The Mom Game in all caps will get you your discount.
Yeah.
So we've heard some people go purchase and I think now you do have to type in The Mom Game on the coupon code thing for it to work. So make sure if you're buying the early bird that you're using the discount code to save some money.
Yes.
I know. Goodness for early bird.
I know. And we were going to talk about a million different like sports topics, but we didn't get to them. I feel like.
Yeah, we have a cool guest. So.
Yeah. I feel like, well, and what we talked about was way more important. Yeah. And I don't think people are coming here for the latest Shohei Ohtani news.
Yeah.
So
yeah, probably they're probably good. Probably getting that everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay, so let's bring in our very special guest.
Yep. Okay, this is a very special day for us here on the Mom Game because we have an Olympic gold medalist joining us here on the show, Michelle Carter. And I know that's not all you are because you're using your platform and your experience now to do so many cool things in the community for women. So first of all, thank you so much for coming here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Michelle, my first question is, where do you keep your medals? Because there's not just one, isn't there?
Well, one Olympic medal. I have some world championship medals.
Okay.
But everybody's like, oh, how come it's not on display? I have them hidden.
Okay.
I just keep them tucked away. I pull them out when necessary.
Okay.
I feel like if you're going to come to my house and steal it, I need you to search for it.
Okay. I gotta make you work for it.
I can't make it too easy for you.
Okay. So I'm about to get a World Series ring on Saturday because I've been working for the Rangers for how many ever years. Anyway, I finally get a ring. So do you have any suggestions on how to handle a valuable piece of hardware like that?
Man, I look at it like things are meant to be worn and used. Like you wear it as much as you want to, show it off.
Okay.
But just put it in a safe place.
Okay.
People want that.
So do you wear your medals anywhere? When do you bring them out?
Well, when people ask me to at certain speaking engagements or appearances, they're like, can you bring the medal?
Yeah.
And then when I go to schools, I let the kids touch it because it is like a once in a lifetime opportunity and you never know who's going to look at it and be like, oh, I can get one because a lot of people haven't felt it.
Sure.
And they're heavy. Like it weighs like 1.2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And that's a lot. So I let people touch it. So it's not like in the best of shape, but it still looks good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, so which Olympics? And it was the shot put, right?
Yes.
Tell us the gold medal story.
Yeah. So it was 2016 Olympic Games in Rio. And I actually was having like the year of my life, like the year that you really want as an athlete where everything goes according to plan. I started out having that year. We have indoor track. So I had indoor nationals. I was a champion. Indoor world. I won that. I was indoor champion.
And this was when you were at UT?
No, this is 2016.
Okay. So
I graduated UT in 2007.
Okay.
I'm older than what I look.
No shit, girl.
Look, I will be 39 this year.
Oh. Me too.
I remember that. That was like, a while back. Okay,
this is like professional.
So you're okay. Athlete. I want to know how that works. So keep going. But I want to go back to like how you continue to do this after college and
I'll finish the 16 story. Then we'll bring it back.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'm having a year. Indoor national champion, indoor world champion, indoor American record. I'm like, this is the year. I've never thrown this far in my life. It's a personal record for me, and it's March. I'm like, I'm about to be deadly when it's June and July. Like, they can't stop me by then. And then 2 weeks after indoor world championships, I just wake up one morning, and I could barely move.
Oh, no.
My back is hurting. And I don't know what I did. I didn't have a moment where I was like, oh, that could have tweaked my back. I have no idea what I did. I just woke up not being able to move. So I kind of finally get up, get dressed. I try to go to practice. Like, let me just stretch and warm up. Listen, that jog.
Were you in a hotel? Like, where were you?
I'm at home.
Okay, so oh, yeah, same I'm bed. Home.
Same bed.
Okay, now I'm trying to.
I'm at home. Okay. Just had practice the other day. Same things I'm always doing. Okay. Nothing changed. And I jog, and then I tried to even just get on the ground, and I couldn't. My back was like, yeah, no. So I'm over here in tears, and my dad walks over, who was my coach. And he said, what's wrong? I'm like, Dad, I gotta go to the doctor. I said, I might have to go to the hospital because my back is on fire. So I go there, go to the doctor, find out I had a herniated disc in my back.
Ow.
And they said, well, you need to have surgery. And I'm like, how long will it take to recover from surgery? 3 months. I said, well, I can't do surgery. The Olympics is in 3 months. What else was my other option? It was like, well, we got to do some research. Let's look at it. So I'm thinking to myself, like, this is crazy. Like, why does this happen right now? And so I'm thinking, okay, let me just try to do some stuff. And it gets worse. It gets so bad to where the disc was on my nerves so tough that my left leg was going numb. So I'm trying to walk and I can't feel my leg. I'm tripping over myself. And I'm thinking to myself, I am a world-class athlete and I can't even walk straight right now. And I was just so upset. So we ended up finding another route. We did decompression therapy. And that's when you lay down on this table. They kind of give your stretch your back out to give your disc space to kind of breathe and to heal and hydrate themselves. So I did that like 5 days a week. I went to physical therapy 4 days a week. I'm trying to still work out as much as I can handle. I had to change all my routines because I'm limited to what I can do. And then after that, I was like, I didn't have any track meet, so I went from being an indoor world champion, new American indoor record, to you don't see me no more to the Olympic trials.
Wow.
So, but you had already qualified for the trials.
I had already qualified for the trials, yeah.
So you had that going for you.
Yeah, I qualified the year before for my last track meet, but then indoor counts towards your qualifications for the Olympic trials. And so I qualify. So I make it to the meet. And at this time, there's so many rumors. Well, Michelle's old. Because I was 11 years older than my next oldest competitor.
Wow. Okay.
And I didn't hear that until I played it back on TV. I'm like, they wrong for that. But
I agree.
So I'm there and people are like, oh, she's pregnant. She's washed up. She's not going to make it. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here. I don't care what you said. I know what I can do. So I get there. All through the competition, I'm in second place. I'm like, cool. I make the team. Top three makes the team. But on the last throw, I'm like, no, I want to win. So on my last throw, I won, made it to the Olympic Games. And at this time, I'm like coasting because I don't have to do too much work. It's just all about recovery. So I get to Rio, and I am the calmest I've ever been in my entire life at any competition. And keep in mind, this is my third Olympic Games.
So
I'm not a stranger to this. Yeah. So I kind of knew what to expect, but I had this calmness over me. And people are like, Michelle, like, are you okay? I'm like, I am great. And I get ready for the competition day. And of course you get competition nerves. And I remember going through the first round because we compete at 10 o'clock in the morning for qualifying. And then you come back at 10 o'clock at night for finals. We're the only event that goes all in one day, which sucks. But
wow, yeah.
It just is what it is. So I go to the qualifying. We call it one and done, where you throw over a qualifying line. They have a line, a marker. You throw over that, you're done. You can just get ready for later. So that's what I did. I got my one and done, packed my bags, go back to the village, rest, get ready for tonight. So then we come back, finals at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, Michelle, this is it. This is it. Throw number one, second place. Throw number two, second place. Throw number three, second place. Then they reorder us in order for the last three throws. And so
how many are in the field?
12. And okay. Then for the last three throws is 8.
Okay.
And so then they reorder us. I'm next to last because the person who was in first gets the last throw going into the finals. Well, the last part of the finals. And throw number four, second place. Throw number five, second place. And I'm like, come on now.
Like, so close.
Come on now.
Yeah, how far like, this were you it. Like from first place? Like,
I wasn't far. I think okay. I was, I think it could have been less than a foot.
Okay.
Less than a foot. I don't remember exactly. But I've been working hard all year long, and I was waiting for this one little thing in my technique, just to be patient to create torque, which is like power from my lower body and upper body. So my lower body goes first, keep my upper body back. It kind of creates a spring action to create power. So that's the one thing I'm working on and waiting on to show up for me, and it hasn't showed up yet. So I was like, you know what? We're going to pray. We're going to talk to the Lord. So I prayed real quick. I'm like, Lord, you told me I could win this. Like, if you don't show up right now, then this is it. Cause this is my last throw. Mm-hmm. And so I get into the ring and I throw, and I felt the one thing I've been waiting for. Now, do I know how far it was? No, because I'm looking, I'm like, I can't tell, I can't see that good. So once I walk out the ring, I have to wait to see what my mark is. So my name goes up, you see M. Carter, and then next to my name was a number one. And then next to that was NR, which stood for national record.
Oh. Whoa.
And I was like, okay, act cool, because the girl who's in first place has one more throw, uh-huh. and I don't want to give her any energy. So I walk out the ring like, yeah, I meant to do that. Uh-huh. But on the inside, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And so she gets in the ring, she throws, and I'm like, she kind of rushed that. And it was still a decent throw for her, but when her name popped up and her name had a number two, all I could think about was like, really? Like, this is how this plays out?
Yeah.
Because in your mind, you have a way that things should go. How right. you hear, this is people's victory stories, and this is how this, everything was great. No, I couldn't walk 3 months before this.
Yeah.
And then I ended up winning on my very last throw, upsetting a two-time Olympic champion to be now the first American woman to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's that is so cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that was what year again?
2016.
Okay. So what do you, I'm curious to how this process works, like from college yeah. to continuing to be a professional, like how does this all work, and how do you, and how is your dad being your coach?
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
So my dad is actually an athlete himself.
Okay.
He is an Olympic silver medalist as well as a three-time Super Bowl Pro Bowl champion for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
So my dad is from Dallas. Mm-hmm. He went to Thomas Jefferson High School, went to school at SMU, and then in 1984, he played football and track while he was in college. So 1984, he graduated from college. He married my mom, made the Olympic team, went to LA, won silver.
Then he what event?
Shot put.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Then
that all makes sense.
He was drafted to the NFL, went to the Olympic Games, won silver, and then after that he went to the NFL and played for San Fran. And that same year they won.
Oh wow!
So I'm technically a San Francisco baby, grew up in California, but his track career all started before I even knew anything about it, because I was born in 1985. And he did that in 1984. And track is considered an amateur sport. So once he had signed his NFL contract, he could no longer participate in track and field.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. So funny story real quick. One of the reasons I was such a big fan of Michelle was because her dad and my dad competed against each other in high school.
At
shot put and discus. And her dad whooped my dad's ass every year at regionals.
Well, my dad is the national high school record holder at 81 feet, 3 inches.
Okay.
And that record hasn't been broken even close to. So, like, he's okay for a silver medalist.
You got that gold. Right.
Yeah, so that's how my dad became my coach. But I didn't know he did track until I actually started doing track myself.
Okay.
Had no idea. So, anyways, I was a number one high school girl in shot put and discus coming out of state of Texas. And wow. So I won 8 state champions, four in shot, 4 in discus. So I had the choice to go to any school. I ended up going to the University of Texas, Hook'em Horns. So I did.
You know who's got a really good track program is Texas Tech, girl.
Saying. But they still can't beat Texas.
Just saying. Okay, well.
But my sister went to Texas Tech, so I got love for Texas Tech. Okay, she went there. She's a national champion there. They got her on the wall there. Okay. So, you know, I'll accept it. I mean, but it's still not Texas.
Okay.
So, I graduated. We were national champions there. Like, we had a killer squad. Like, if you know anything about track and field, you had Sonya Richards Ross on our team. So we had we had heavy hitters on our team. And so I graduated in 2007.
Okay.
And I'm like, what am I gonna do with my life? Because I didn't have the best senior year at NCAAs. I actually finished 4th and 5th. I was supposed to win, get my Nike contract. That did not happen because I was trying to graduate and get up out of there.
Yeah.
And so when I moved back home after graduating, I was just looking at the calendar, like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, what's coming up? And I'm like, Michelle, like, duh, the Olympics is next year. like, just keep training.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
And so I kept training, made it to the Olympic trials in 2008, made my first Olympic team, went to Beijing, China, and I still didn't have a contract. I finished 15th there, still didn't have a contract. And I'm like, okay, well, I actually enjoyed that. Let me do this again. So in 2009, we had world championships. And I realized if I finish in the top 8, 10, I can make some money, right? I need to make money so I can get up out my parents' house. That was like the number one goal. And so world championships came. I finished 9th place, which was the highest. Oh, no, I lied. I finished 6th place, which was at that time the highest an American woman had finished in world championships in my event at that time. And then the next day I got a call from ESPN Body Issue to be in a very first body issue.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, like, people are watching me? And then...
Wait, is that the same one that Prince Fielder was in?
Oh, I don't know.
That's the only person I know that's been in the ESPN The Body.
What okay, year I don't was remember. It? 2009.
Okay.
To that, the very first issue.
No, I think it was.
It was like Serena Williams. Yeah. And yeah, so I did
that's
that.
That's awesome.
It was cool. And then the next day after that, Nike called, was like, we want to offer you a contract. And I'm like, okay, finally.
Yeah.
And so from there, I kept training and making it to track meets, making money. And so that's kind of how it works in track and field. Like, if you're good enough to get a contract, you get a contract. If not, some people have to work their way up to getting a contract. So it's a little cutthroat. Olympic sports are not easy.
I'm right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Nelly. Okay. So what do you, like, tell us about now? Like, are you done competing?
I am retired. Yes, okay. I am. My last year was it 22? 22, yeah.
So damn, look, you wrote it for a while.
I did because in 16, we have world championships. So the year before and the year after the Olympics is world championships.
Okay.
So it's like Olympic, world championship, an off year. We still have like a major championship, but then it's a world championship, Olympic Games, world championship.
Okay.
So we have a major championship every year. So the last world championships I wanted to be at was going to be in the U.S., but I ended up missing 2020 Olympic Games. I was training for it. Of course, you know, it was pushed back because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I was training, kept having issues with my ankle. And I'm like, let me go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. They look at my ankle. He was like, oh, you just have a cyst. We're going to drain it. You're going to be fine. Sit out for a week. You'll be good. Wake up from surgery. Yeah, so about your ankle. It was a tumor.
Oh, no.
And it was really sticky. And we had to really scrape and clean it up. And so, yeah, your season is over.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm the reigning Olympic champion. I don't get to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I had the opportunity to commentate that year, which I enjoyed.
Cool. Oh, fun.
And then recovering from that, my last year was going to be 21 because world championships were going to be in Eugene, which was going to be the first time a world championships was going to be on U.S. soil. And that's where I wanted to retire. I didn't make that team, but I was like, that's it. I'm done. Everybody's like, oh, you still have time? No, I don't want to come back anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I remember going to practice one day, and I'm like, why am I here? I said, okay, yeah, it's time for me to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're just asking new. Those questions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so you're doing some cool stuff now, motivational speaking.
Yes.
And all kinds of stuff. Tell us
what
you got.
Yeah, so I am a motivational speaker. I also have a girls camp called You Throw Girls Sports Confidence Camp, where we build confidence in young female athletes to believe in who they are on and off the field.
Hey, tell me the name of You Throw Girl.
You Throw Girl.
Oh, I love it.
You Throw Girl.
I love it.
I created the camp because, like, as much as I am into sports, I feel like I'm not all about sports. There's still different parts of me that needs to be developed. And when I see young female athletes, there's so much focus on the skill, but these young girls still need other things in their life to make them well-rounded individuals. And so I created that camp. So we have a confidence building component to it, where we do goal setting, vision boards, how to walk and talk with confidence, how to handle your social media. We have an adolescent OBGYN comes in to talk to them about taking care of their bodies and puberty. Like, we hit all the things, because a lot of girls, some have dads as their only parent, and dad don't know everything. So these parents are seeking.
As a girl who was raised by her father, let me tell you, dads don't know everything. Yeah, for sure.
And they're looking for people to, like, can you tell my daughter how to do this? Because I don't know. And so that's why I wanted it to be a safe space for young girls to come in. And then with my nonprofit, we feed track teams, because track teams are out there all day long.
Yeah.
And they don't get to eat until they get to go home. That's like the only meal they might get. So between lunch and when the track meet's over, they're starving. So some schools can't afford to have snacks. And then we do that. And then I also have a program where we provide sports bra education and sports bras for young female athletes. Because sports bras for us is essential. Some are more blessed than others. I fall in the blessed category. So I understand like not having the support that you need and how it plays on their confidence when it comes
right.
to sports.
Yeah.
So I deal with that. And then I'm just an entrepreneur, just touching anything that I actually be like, oh, that sounds cool. Let me try it. Yeah. Okay, I don't like that. Okay, let me try this. Oh, that's actually kind of cool. I think I might keep
yeah.
this.
So, oh, cool. That's
good for you.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. It's fascinating to hear your story. I'm so curious about, I have a friend, Misty May Trainer, who mm-hmm. can't remember what year she won. She was beach volleyball.
Okay, yeah.
I forget her partner's name. Anyway. Was it? I thought it was somebody different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just remember like thinking that the whole Olympic thing is so, because you have to be considered an amateur, but at some point that switched, right? To where?
Yeah, so the now is how it's set up. The Olympic movement itself, the Olympic Games, is an amateur event.
Right.
You do not get paid for the Olympic Games.
But you can still be like you could sign a contract with Nike
yes.
and still be and able to
still
participate
be
in the Olympics.
To yes.
But that wasn't always the case.
No, you could not participate in the Olympic Games and be any kind of professional athlete.
Right.
It changed in, I want to say, 1987. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there it
yeah.
changed.
But it was also fucked up. Like, that's weird. Like, come on, man.
It's for the Olympics to still be an amateur movement and to not get paid by the Olympic Committee, and you have all these Olympic athletes that dedicate their lives to this.
Right.
It's still not
fair. Because we think about like, oh, like the dream team playing. Like that, right. No, the Olympics is not all the dream team. It's like right. people like you that are yes. working their asses off to try to represent their country yeah. and then to not be able to be compensated for it.
No.
Because people look at like, you know, that the dream team, right? They're like, oh, I mean, they make plenty of money. They're just
yeah.
going to play for their country. But, but not everyone.
Not everybody do. Everybody yeah. think the Olympic Games is like glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Do they have a bunch of condoms in the Olympic
Village? Oh my gosh.
Olympic
okay,
Village.
Well, let me explain.
Please,
why.
Please.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Mama just said they do. But what happens is there was an article that came out for the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia, and they counted and calculated like all the condoms that were used. And so, but considered used was they put these big buckets out and people just take them.
Okay.
And so you have okay. countries who their resources where condoms are not available to them in that way are, you know, they people who come from third world countries.
Yeah.
So when they have access to free condoms, they're taking them.
Yeah.
And so that's what
they're
so they're stocking
using
up. They're
up
putting
to
them
take
in there.
Home,
yeah, okay.
And people are considering that. They were just having sex. It's an
yeah.
orgy at the Olympic Games.
Right.
Like, no.
Right.
You gotta understand, like, the Olympic Games is a one in a lifetime experience for some countries. And they would never have touched or been anywhere like this if it wasn't for the Olympic Games. So when they get the free resources, they're taking it.
Any
all.
Of it. Like, they're taking all the souvenirs. I'll
all
take
of
some
them.
Condoms and some
water,
sticky
Coca-Cola.
Notes, whatever.
No, they take it all. So, yeah, they're available. It's not a big orgy. People are focused because they got to make money and get their medal. So it's not what y'all think.
Okay, well, good to know.
I'm glad we got to clear that up.
Yes.
Well, Michelle, it was so awesome having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank
Let us
you
know
so
if
much.
There's, you know, like things we can do to support your all of your things that you're doing to help. Especially, you know, young girls and all that kind of stuff. Please let us know if there's something we can do to help.
Yep,
we
thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Having me.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we end every episode by pointing or looking at our camera and doing the peace signs and saying, okay. Mom came out. It's kind of cheesy,
okay,
but just
fine.
Double
just ride
sign.
With it.
Yes,
just ride with us. So we'll all go right. on the count of three.
Okay.
It's here. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Mom came out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.